If you're looking for trouble, you're in the right place. This is the Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where we talk with the experts from New Construct, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they do this by digging in at the footnotes level and then working their way up. It is discounted cash flow analysis meets forensic accounting. And the fact is that they are looking to see if something is not as it otherwise appears. That if you look at the numbers from the top down and think, you might dig in at the bottom and come to a conclusion.
This is an ugly business, man.
Yeah, and if it's truly ugly, well, it's not unattractive. It's downright dangerous. To learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They blog about all of their Danger Zone picks, so there is always more information there on the things we discuss here. David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. David, great to have you back on Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
David joins us on the Gainbridge Hotline. Gainbridge has embarked on a mission to create a digital platform that provides direct access to trusted annuity products without complexity or hidden fees. Learn more at gainbridge.life. David, who's in the danger zone this week?
Companies whose earnings are overstated and most likely to miss street expectations for second quarter earnings.
Danger, danger.
So it's companies whose earnings are overblown and we're expecting them to have a second quarter miss. Are there a lot of these companies? Is it more that we've got a ton in there, or is it more we got a couple of shiningly bad examples?
It's all that, but first let me thank you for saying that a little more concisely than I did. It was sort of a mouthful for the danger zone. I apologize for that. Well, the stats are that 70% of S&P 500 companies have overstated earnings. That's as a percent of the market cap of the S&P. Now, good news is that that's down from 79% at the end of 2021. Bad news is that it's still a high number, historically high number. And so, you know, look, if you we're not going to go through all of those. I am going to feature a couple that are among the worst. They happen to be Twitter and Tesla. I think most people are very well aware of those two companies these days. Twitter's street estimate for second quarter this year, Twitter's earnings estimates are overstated by 81%. Tesla's second quarter earnings estimates are overstated by 26%. That puts them in the top five for the S&P 500 companies with the most overstated earnings.
Before we delve in further on Twitter and Tesla, I want to talk about something else. On Friday's show, we had Lizanne Saunders, chief investment strategist for Charles Schwab, on the show. And she was talking about how the next shoe to drop in, as the market tries to move through its problems and get to recovery, is that we have to get to where earnings expectations are adjusted and become more realistic. Would you agree, as we're talking about this, and how many of the companies you're seeing as having overblown earnings estimates, would you agree that we have to come back to some, you know, before we can get to, okay, the market has bottomed and we've gone through whatever recessionary pressures we've got and we want to turn around, that we have to shake out overblown earnings expectations?
Absolutely. That sentiment, I think, is pretty consistent across sort of sophisticated Wall Street strategists and investors. And I think what I want to bring to bear here is that there's two factors. I think what Lizanne, I got great respect for her. I think she brings up a great point. We're in a cyclical, recessionary sort of earnings slowdown situation, right? That's going to drive part of the reduction in earnings. But then we're also in this sort of another cyclical effect, is that anytime earnings are driven down for macroeconomic reasons, they also get driven down for accounting reasons. It's called the kitchen sink effect. And what we find in general, and part of the reason why our proprietary core earnings analysis is so valuable, is that, look, companies overstate how bad things are when they're bad, and they overstate how good things are when they're good. On the way down, they call it the kitchen sink effect, where you take as many write-downs and expenses as you can when market sentiment is negative, because you're not going to get any credit for beating earnings anyway. You might as well just let it all tank, you know, and then you set up a good comp for when things are good, because, you know, the lower your earnings in the trough, the better you look coming out of it. You can issue options, you know, when things are bad, all these kinds of things that you can do to take advantage of a negative sentiment environment. But the point is, earnings are going to go down not just for cyclical reasons where the economy is slower, but also because so many of them have been overstated, have been juiced by companies taking as many unusual gains and things like that when things are good. So they're going to go down, but the pendulum always overswings, as it did on the upside here when we've had close to 80%+ of companies overstating earnings over the last few quarters. That's already dropping. And when they go from overstating, they go to understating, and we're going to see the understatement effect amplify the decline in earnings that Ms. Saunders was referring to.
Let's now bring this back to Twitter and Tesla.
Yeah. So the street estimate for Twitter for second quarter 2022 is 14 cents a share. We think that's overstated by 11 cents a share. We think the core earnings, or our core earnings estimate, is only 5 cents. And that's driven primarily by a big gain on the sale in the first quarter, sale of its MoPub business to AppLovin Corporation. So that number is still, for whatever reason, causing the earnings for Twitter to for the street to be overstated. For whatever reason, this very unusual non-recurring gain was allowed to be in their operating adjusted earnings number, and is now all, you know, kind of having this downstream effect of causing estimates to bake in similar expectations for something that won't recur. Happens all the time. Same thing happened with Ford and Rivian when they made a big gain on the Rivian sale. And so that's just like, I don't know what to say. Analyst earnings are supposed to be normalized or to scrub out unusual gains and losses, but they don't. Tesla is a similar situation. Their 2Q22 EPS street estimate is $2.07 a share. That's overstated by 54 cents a share. And that's almost entirely related to the regulatory credits that they get for selling off to companies who don't yet produce enough EVs and who are buying these credits from Tesla. We consider that to be unusual and non-recurring income because as the rest of the automotive industry catches up on the EV front, which we are seeing signs of across nearly all the incumbent automakers, those regulatory credit sales are going away. And so counting those in as sort of recurring profits, we think, is a bad idea. And when you take those out and some other adjustments we make, you get a core earnings estimate of $1.53 a share, which again is 54 cents below the street estimate of $2.07 a share for the second quarter.
Wow. How does this ultimately then impact the price? I mean, I know we're always looking for catalysts and they're the hard thing to say, but if we were to see misses of this size, how close would it get these things to fair value and how big a haircut is that going to be?
You never know with these stocks, right? I mean, look, Twitter is going to trade in a lot of ways kind of based on the expectations for being bought out at $54 a share. Clearly, there's not a lot of belief that that's going to happen considering that it's at $37 a share now. But there are a lot of, Chuck, I don't pretend that I have a crystal ball to predict sort of exactly how these things will impact the stock price and when. But I do think it's going to continue to hurt Twitter if they have a big miss. It's going to put further downside pressure on the stock. How much? I don't know. A lot of the stocks that we put in the danger zone are down 70, 80, 90%, but they can still fall another 70, 80%. So for it to capitulate to fair value would be a big jump, but I do think it's got a lot of downside. When it comes to Tesla, we've been calling this for a long time. It's defied gravity forever despite, I don't know, all the evidence in the world that you'd want that this company is not going to meet the expectations in the stock price. We think the stock, should drop to at least $200 a share. Will a big earnings miss do that? No, because they miss earnings all the time. They miss production all the time. And sometimes the stock goes up. There's not a lot that's rational about Tesla and the way it trades. But that's been the case for a long time.
It sure has. You've been sour on it for a long while. Now you just have one more reason, or potentially one more reason, as we watch how the earnings come out and how bad the miss could be. It's Twitter and Tesla, companies where the earnings expectations are out of whack with reality, or the reality we're about to learn once the second quarter numbers come out. David Trainer, great stuff. Thanks as always for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
David Trainer is the president at New Constructs. You can follow him on Twitter directly. He's at TheRealDTrain37. The firm is at New Constructs. And again, it's online at newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks. So there's a lot more information if you want more details and descriptions. We'll be back with the big interview. Larry McDonald from the Bear Traps Report will be here.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.